It is a big honor to be able to speak this morning, you know, in behalf of all the dads. I know I am not the sole authority on this topic. Some of you may already asking, what am I going to learn from this young dad? Or who is this guy telling me on how to raise and discipline my children? I just hope and pray that our living God will touch your heart and open it to listen to his message this morning. Amen. Although this sermon is targeted to the fathers today, I do not want all the mothers and singles and youth to shut your ears. Okay? Let me tell you this. This morning, you don't have any choice but to listen. Listen, because I'm here and you're there sitting down. Unless you want to switch places with me. Any volunteers? Brother? Mothers, do me a favor. Mothers, please raise your hand. You know what? Stand up. Okay. Here's what we're going to do this morning, all right? I want you to do me a favor, okay? And I'm giving you permission today, just today, all right? Today, we are celebrating the National Elbow Your Husband to the Ribs. All right? That's today. Okay, so for two different reasons. One, if you think that in the middle of the sermon that your husband is, oh, you're doing a good job in this area, oh, you're this. Even, you know, recognize them. Right? Okay? And then on the other hand, in the middle of the sermon somewhere, if your husband is falling asleep or, you know, is not doing this, elbow him as hard as you can. All right? Just for today. That cool? Good. All right. So, before we move along, I just want to ask God for his provision. And may you join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you this morning that you are providing for us, that you are our great Father, who loved us unconditionally. Father, we are grateful for the gift of being a dad. God, help us, Lord, not to take this lightly. And we know that it is a great privilege and responsibility that you expect a lot from us. Father, I ask you, Lord, that we fathers do our roles, Lord, as the spiritual leader of our family. Father, I ask you, Lord, to be with your servant this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, that you've given me, Lord. Father, guide me from any errors, and may your name be glorified this morning in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, today's sermon is called Building Your Legacy as a Father. What do I mean by building your legacy? Does anyone know what a legacy means? Does anyone know what a legacy means, Pastor? Okay, so according to the online Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says legacy is something transmitted by, okay, or something that you received from an ancestor or your ancestor or predecessor or from the past, right? Pardon me for all the people that don't speak Tagalog. In Tagalog, okay, yung mga bagay na ipamamana mo o yung ipinamana mo, all right, yung itinuro mo, hindi lang sa mga tao, hindi especially sa yung mga anak. Okay, so things that you taught to, or you to your children, not just your children, but to also other people, how you want them to remember you. Okay, again, legacy is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. Let me give you an example. If you don't know what's been going on with the Toronto Raptors, all right? There you go. You got it? All right, so you're not a true Canadian, right? Whether you're a basketball fan or, you know, everybody is kind of like jumping into the boat, like you want to be a Raptor fan, right? On Thursday, June 13, in Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals at the Oracle Arena in Oakland, California, the Toronto Raptors won their first NBA championship as a team. Supposed to have a picture here. There you go. Okay. So they will always be remembered as the first Raptors team to win the franchise history. And bigger than that, the first Canadian team to win the NBA championship. Kawhi Leonard won his second NBA title, his second MVP finals in two different countries. That's why his number is two. You guys get that? Okay, so that's how we're going to remember them, right? As I watched the Raptors team on the stage that night to receive their trophy, I could not help but notice the Raptors point guard, Kyle Lowry. Had his two boys with him, and they will always remember this moment about their dad. That will be his legacy as a father. But how about us, you and I, as a dad? What can we boast in? What is your legacy? How are you building your legacy? We may never win an NBA championship, but in Christ, victory over the cross, with the faith in him, we are ultimately the champions. Amen? So let's talk about how can we build our godly legacy as a father. I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered as a dad who always there for my family, win or lose. Even more importantly, I want to be a godly dad. I want to be the kind of dad who leads my family the right way. I want to build a legacy that will not only impact this life, but also into eternity. I want to be the kind of dad that both our boys will be proud of and remember a great godly dad example, even when I have passed. And people will ask them, hey, where did you learn how to do that? Oh, my dad. My dad showed me how to do that. My dad taught me, right? When did you get to know Jesus? Oh, my dad, he always talks about God. He always talks about Jesus. Hey, how did you know so much about the Bible and memorize it? Oh, that was my dad. This is the kind of dad I want to be. And I hope this is also the desire of your heart as a father as well. So how can we make this happen? This is what we're going to learn this morning. And upon studying, I came upon Pastor Thomas Slager's sermon, which had guidelines that spoke to my heart. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that God will touch your heart as well. I adapted it for my sermon this morning. I will share with you four guidelines on how to build a godly legacy as a father. You guys ready? So if you guys hear a lot of ouch here and there, you know that the moms are working, right? So, first guideline, devote yourself and your family to the Lord. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15, a very popular verse, now therefore, Just pause that. We will explain the therefore later. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, let's look at the word therefore, right? So when you see the word therefore in the Bible, what are you supposed to do? Pastor Sandy always talks about this. When you see a therefore in the Bible, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to read and check the previous verses, right? So in verses 1 through 13 of Joshua chapter 24, we see God talking to Israelite and reminds them and lists out all the times that he has been faithful. I provided for you. I done this for you. Did this for you. I delivered you from here. Now he's reminding them. Now therefore, said, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, now let's pause here. This is very interesting. Why would it be evil to someone's eyes to serve the Lord? This is talking about unbelievers who do not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Right, it seems like it's evil to their eyes to serve the Lord because they don't know God. To see that serving the Lord is a waste of time because they cannot follow their simple desires and serving the Lord. Right, so they cannot do the things that the rest of the world does. Well, then, God gave us an option, and he says, if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose. Right? Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. In the modern days, we could say that, you know, make a decision whether you continue to serve the religion you grew up with or serve the other gods, such as gods of time, popularity, sex, money, fame. Choose. But I love that Joshua declared here, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So this is the devotion is all about. You know, regardless of what's cool, regardless of what's popular, regardless of what fame, power, success, whatever may be, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sorry, pardon me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fathers, you want to have the home that fears and loves the Lord? Guess who that starts with? It's you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua just didn't devote his family to the Lord. He devoted himself to the Lord. That's the father's the most important legacy that we can give to our family. It's not our money. It's not our stuff. It's not a vacation. Not a big house. Nice car. Lots of shoes. The most important legacy we can show to our family is our first personal holiness that comes from our devotion to the Lord. Amen? Let me give you a concrete example of how's devotion, or how to devote yourself. Devotion to the Sabbath day, which practically means or terms is devotion to coming to church and being a part of a local congregation. Our boys, Nathan and Sam, are 6 and 5. They're starting from their young age or young minds what we give our priorities as parents. We want to establish with our family that on Sunday, we do not put importance on sleeping in. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care what time we got home from the night before. If you're not sick, you're not dying, we're going to church. That's our, we always say that to our kid. You know, like, going to church is our number one thing. We do not put importance in sport activities, in summer outings. We want to devote our Sundays coming here and worshiping the Lord and learning about Him. So every weekend, Nathan and Sam would ask me and my wife, you know, Jod, is it a church day? Is it time to go to church? Like, you know, that feeling as parents is, you know, it's amazing, right? They don't ask you, Daddy, can we go this? No, weekend, the first thing they ask me and my wife, Daddy, is it your church day? Right? I remember Sam told us one time when we were leaving here, just walking down here, going home, he said, Daddy, I love the church. It's a wonderful place. Right? And Nathan asked me one day, Daddy, are you the boss of the church? Right? I said, no, because, you know, he sees that I give my time and, you know, everything to its ministries, right? So the act of coming to church and serving is a concrete example of our devotion to God and setting aside the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, right? So, Father, it really starts from you and your wife, right? So what are the other ways to devote yourself to the Lord? This is very important. Number one is study the Bible diligently. What else? Spend time in prayer. What else? Listen to sermons, attending seminars and conferences. You know what? This is number four is what really helps me. You know, hang out with godly, mature believers who will encourage you and equip you in Christ. You know, I hang out with Pastor, with John, with all the elders. You know, they equip you, you know, and hang out with the Christians that know the Bible. So when you learn from them, you learn from each other, right? And make yourself available to serve His church, right? So we have many ministries here that you can serve and be blessing to others, which ultimately brings glory to God. So second guidelines on how to build your own godly based legacy as a father. Second is discipline the ones you love. Uh-oh, all the palo are coming. So, Father, our standard of discipline must come from our God, from God's word. We can't discipline our kids out of anger. Can't discipline our kids out of frustration, tiredness, although I am sure we have all done so because of our humanness. So where do we get our standard of discipline? How do we know what rules we need to uphold and what requires us to discipline our children? So let us look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we need to look in the Bible so that we can be trained in righteousness and train all our children in it too. Amen? So we need to submerge yourself and, you know, store in your heart so that, you know, you can train in righteousness, and also you can pass on to your children, right? So in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 to 11, it says this about discipline. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as son. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not son. Besides this, we have an earthly father who disciplines us and respect them. Shall we not much more subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as it seems best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all the discipline seems to be painful rather than pleasant, but later yield to the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Right? So this is the goal of discipline. Right? This is the goal of every Christian father who disciplines their children. Right? So it's not like, oh, you're going to learn something today. You know, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to teach you a lesson today. You wait until we get home. You know, for us Filipino, it's something different. You're going to get palo today. Right? No, that's not the goal. The goal of discipline is peaceful fruit of righteousness in verse 11. Right? That our kids may live a life that he calls them to live. I remember when Nathan and Sam, they were 3 or 4 years old, I told them to clean up their room and put away their toys. And of course, as children do, they ignored me. Right? I told them once, told them twice, and finally, after 2 times of asking with no action, I went to the garage and grabbed 2 garbage bags. Put literally everything in the garbage bag and throw everything in the garbage. Oh yes, they were crying. The loudest cry I ever heard, "Oh, my toys. Right? After a few minutes, I went back in their room and they're still crying. You know, and I told them, this is the consequences for not listening. Right? Mommy and Daddy loves you, but if you disobey and ignore us, there will be unpleasant consequences, right? So it is important for us fathers to set the rules in our household and then enforce the consequences when the rules are not followed, right? And you have to, wives, you know, this is the argument between the wife and the husband comes, right? When they're not in line in disciplining their children. You know, so this is not to torture them, okay? Or to power trip them, right? As we read in Hebrews chapter 12, our ultimate example, God the Father disciplines us because he loves us. It should be the same with our children, right? We discipline out of love. Fathers, the goal that we have to aim for is to have the peaceful fruit and righteousness that our kid may live the life that he calls them to live. Right? So it is important to look God's word and see the perfect example of what the father should be. To encourage me and you to work towards being more like our Heavenly Father. So fathers, we are called to bring up our children in the ways of the Lord. To discipline them, to encourage them, to comfort them, and to instruct them. The Bible is very clear. It is profitable for teaching, so we teach our kids to value and respect and to obey the parents. And the same thing with correction. We teach them what is right and what is wrong. So why do we discipline our kids? Some parents don't even discipline their kids. You know, sometimes you hear them, "Oh, my child is so precious." Right? "Oh, he's so perfect. He's so adorable." Can I show you what God said about your kids? Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Our kids are not perfect. Actually, our kids are fools. Right? Guess what? For you not to discipline your kids or your child, it only perpetuates their foolishness. And guess whose fault is that? That's on you. So how do we prevent this? Through the rod of discipline that drives it far from him. Hey, I'm not telling you to beat your kids with a stick, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that if you love your kids, you will recognize that there is foolishness bound up in their heart, right? Nobody teach them how to disobey. Nobody teach them how to talk back. So, fathers, we need to align ourselves in the Word so that we can discipline accordingly. Amen? Because if you don't, they become disobedient to you and rude to you, and they become disobedient to the people around them. And one day, instead of you making them cry in a short while for their own good, guess what? When it all said and done, it's too late. They will make you cry. Hey, this is not me talking. This is the Word of God. So, third guideline on how to build your own godly legacy as a father is, number three, delight in your children. What does it mean to delight someone? What's the word delight mean? Delight means is great pleasure. Great pleasure. Right? In Psalm chapter 149, verse 4, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation." Fathers, listen. Do you know that the God of Father delights in you? Do you know that God the Father wants to forgive you? Do you know that God the Father wants to bless you? Do you know that God the Father wants to talk to you? God the Father wants to spend time with you. God the Father wants to have a closer relationship with you. God the Father wants you, man. What does this do to your heart? You want that kind of father, right? Now, look at this as what if. What if God the Father doesn't want you? God the Father doesn't delight in you. God the Father doesn't talk to you. Doesn't want to talk to you. Never forgives you. God the Father hates you. Hates spending time with you. That hurts. Right? So, Father, we need to teach ourselves how to delight in God and spend time in knowing him, because he wants you. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." How about us, dads? Father, how about us? Do your kids know that you love them? Do your kids know that you want to spend time with them when you get home from work? Do your kids know and you tell them that you pray for them? Do your kids know that you forgive them? Do your kids know that you delight in them? Father, you know that our God, the Father, loves you and bless you with this privilege to be a father, whose goal is to demonstrate to your children God's love and goodness as a father. Our role as a father is a crucial one. He has called us to be the leader, protector, provider for the family. He also called us to be a teacher. At the same time, to love and delight your children. So while we can do our best to live out God's example as a father, we are still imperfect vessels. Only God Himself can truly be the perfect example of a father. A father that's loving, compassionate, caring, forgiving, and we are so glad that we can call Him Father. Even if you don't have a relationship with your earthly father, you can have one with our Heavenly Father. If you repent and confess today, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 13, put your trust in Him and you can be born again and inherit eternal life, John 3:16. Again, He loves us. He wants us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Right? And our Father in heaven is the most loving and caring Father that we could hope for. Last one. Demonstrate how to follow Christ. Almost every day after school, Nathan would ask me, "Hey, Dad, you want to play basketball with me?" I go, "Sure, Nate. I would love to play basketball with you." You know, so we go outside, put his basketball shoes and Toronto jersey, Toronto. Right. So teaching him how to dribble, and shoot and stuff, you know, and almost every time that he's about to make a shot, right? He would call me and says, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, watch me," right? And he'll shoot it. And he's so happy to see me watching him, right? My son desperately craves for my attention and affirmation that he wants me to see what he's doing. And I say to him, "Good job, buddy." So now let's flip this. Let's flip this. Okay? So you know what we need to do, dads? Let's use this in building our legacy as a father. And you tell your kids, "Son, you watch me. You watch me." When they ask, "Dad, what does it mean to follow Christ?" "Son, watch me. Watch me." 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. 16. "For though you have countless guys in Christ, you do not have many fathers, but for I became your father in Christ." For I became your father in Christ through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. Sorry. So you say, "Son, watch what I do and do what I do." Right? Watch how I follow Christ and love Christ, and you do the same. You know, when they ask you, "Dad, how do I talk to God?" come, watch me pray. Come, or come, pray with me. So, you know, when they ask you, what does it mean to love others and be generous? Buddy, come, serve with me. You know, fathers, are we living this way? Are we living the life and imitate me or watch me? Because whether we like it or not, our kids are watching. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Our kids are watching and imitating us, whether we follow Christ or we do what unbelieving fathers do. Regardless of the path that you choose, they're watching you. They're watching you. So, fathers, we have an obligation to God to bring them to knowing Him. You are producing more of you. Brother, look, you are producing more of you. Right? Brother Aaron, you are producing more of you. Fathers, you are producing more of you. So watch, because your kids are watching. Equip yourself so that you can be ready when the time comes. The saddest part of being a believing father, when your kid asks you a question about God and you cannot answer because you did not do your part and you don't have the heart to learn about God. That is sad, man. And the most tragic moment as a parent is when your children do not believe in God because you did not do your part once again, right? So it is my prayer for my kids, and I know it's yours as well, right? That our children will come to know and love God. Pastor Luis Notario is here today. Upton said, do not let anyone rob you of the privilege of leading your children in the saving knowledge of Jesus and disciplining your children, even the pastor. He always tell me this. Don't let me discipline or disciple your kid. You disciple them, right? Don't let me rob you. I think it's a very powerful message, right? You are a teacher. It really starts in your dinner table. So, fathers, being firmly rooted in His Word will allow us to become the fathers that God wants us to be, who are able to disciple and train godly children who by His grace will come to know and love God as well. Amen. Let's pray.